Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we are on a Monday, and this is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, Colin was right, Colin was wrong, and as always, there's plenty of both. Joy Taylor is joining me. Redskins have fired their coach. Joy will have more on that coming up. So we've got NFL news. Used to be you had to get to like Thanksgiving to get fired. Not in D.C.
Well, anything is possible in Washington, D.C.
Oh, that whole city it's like cursed over the last decade in sports. They cannot get a break with injuries and coaches. So Joy and I are ready to go today. Listen, I always say, I use this term a lot in my real life. What's the hurry? Why buy a house? What's the hurry? I can rent. Why buy a new car? I'll use Uber. I have a theory in pro sports. If I owned a team or ran a team, I would pay very few people top dollar. And I would only pay them when I had to. These are salary cap sports outside of baseball. I'll pay the LeBrons. I'll pay the Mahomes. I'll pay the great ones, but I'm not paying you early because I have salary caps. A lot more athletes are overpaid than underpaid in America today. Dak Prescott, sometimes time works in your favor, and sometimes time does not work in your favor. Dak Prescott is losing money in the negotiations. It's not pretty. Dak is clearly a piece, but he is also clearly not a piece. And I want you to think about this. I'm going to bring up well-run organizations. The Steelers were founded in 1933. They've won Super Bowls with two quarterbacks, Terry Bradshaw and Big Ben. The Cowboys were formed in 1960. They've won Super Bowls with two quarterbacks, Troy Aikman, Roger Staubach. Green Bay formed in the 20s. They've run Super Bowls with only three quarterbacks, Bart Starr, Brett Favre, and Aaron Rodgers. 49ers, formed in the 40s, have only won the big trophy with Montana and Steve Young. The Colts have only won it with Unitas and Peyton Manning, and they've mostly been well-run. And by the way, New England was formed 60 years ago, won a Super Bowl with one guy. Even the teams that win just one, a walk-off, Len Dawson, Kansas City, Drew Brees, New Orleans, Russell Wilson, Seattle. Folks, you see a trend here? You can win divisions, you can win games, but to get into the trophy room of the Super Bowl, it is overwhelmingly done with unique, special Hall of Fame talents. Dallas and Green Bay played last night. Those were two levels of quarterback. One has already won a trophy and may win another. The other has won divisions. Sometimes timing works in your favor, sometimes it works against. Dak, to me, is a franchise quarterback, and he has a lot of qualities I like. But the film doesn't lie, and your eyes don't lie. When you put him in the room, in that little box called a TV set, next to Aaron Rodgers, one's a trophy room guy, and one's a guy with the top offensive line and the best running back that can win games in a division. Greg Cosell is somebody I've brought on for 5 years. After Dak beat the Giants, I pressed him. Come on now, Greg. Dak is special, right?
I would say he looked comfortable without question. I would also say that that performance by the Giants defense was so bad, I really don't know what to say. He threw to a ton of open receivers. He made a couple of really good throws. But I don't know what to say, Colin, beyond that. I'm being honest. I'm just trying to be honest because I've been watching tape since 1991. I've seen an awful lot. So I don't know what to say in response to quarterbacks hitting wide open receivers.
Dak is simply not a blank check guy. And there's about 5 to 8 on the planet. He is a write a check to him guy. But That's where if I own a team or run a team, timing, I cross my fingers, works in my favor. $27.5 million, I'd sign it. $35 million, I'll draft another. And again, what's the rush? Rent. Rent for years before you buy the house. It's really expensive. Drive Uber for months until you buy the car. Those are really expensive. There is no reason to pay early. Time is clearly, clearly working against Dak here. And again, I like him, but he's not a blank check guy. And I'd sign him, but in a salary cap league, I would squeeze every penny back to my franchise to allow me to be as nimble as I can to sign other players going forward. Let me shift to Aaron Rodgers. He put on a clinic last night. You would think, as a good-looking guy, $100 million network, new contract, new head coach, Aaron Rodgers has a happy life personally, it looks like. His girlfriend was there. He is, I mean, he got the DNA, the arm, the hard work, the looks, the money, the State Farm commercials. Life is good for Aaron Rodgers. There is no reason for Aaron Rodgers, especially after last night, beat America's team, looked absolutely sensational, deserves every bit of praise I'm going to heap on him. There would be no reason this morning or after that game to punch down. Now, would there? To be petty, to be snarky. But after that amazing performance with Mike McCarthy nowhere near the conversation, Aaron Rodgers had to take a shot at him.
I just think we're just a more connected team this year. We're enjoying each other more. We like each other, I think, a little more. We hang out with each other. It's the locker room is a raucous environment, whether it's a Monday or whether it's right after a big win. I just think guys really play for each other more, and we have that chemistry that because of the leadership that we have that maybe we've been lacking the last couple years.
Oh, God, Aaron, stop. I mean, you're like the guy that gets divorced and runs to Facebook. Never been happier. Arm around my new boo. Aaron, you're worth $100 million. You're the best-looking guy in the NFL. You won. It's your team. Sunday Night Football. You were great. I mean, you're not even subtle about it. This is why you've had family, friends, executives, although you said the article was made up, take shots at you. Be disappointed with you. Be better. I mean, why would you punch down? Mike McCarthy, you talk about leadership. Well, so he was the only leader in Green Bay last year as it was man overboard? Aaron's win last night makes him officially a 500 career road quarterback. Is Mike McCarthy get all the blame for that? Aaron is now, 2-7 in his last 9 road games. You would think with the looks and the performance and the money and the girlfriend and the fame and everything going in his direction, he is beloved in a great state of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Great state of Wisconsin. He's just beloved that he has to fire a shot at the unemployed Mike McCarthy. I mean, come on, Aaron. Really? McCarthy was nowhere near that room. And if you're going to say, now we've got good leadership, well, aren't you part of the leadership the previous 7-8 years? You certainly got credit for the Super Bowl win because of your arm and leadership. I mean, really? You going to run to Instagram with a snarky video? Got my new boo. Never been happier. Save that for the 20-somethings, the kids. You're a grown-up. You're a franchise. You're a face maybe of the league going forward. do better.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy and I, our studio right here is, you know, it's 15 minutes from Hollywood, and they have these red carpet things all the time, and I don't go to them. About 5-6 times a year, I'm invited to go to the red carpet, or we work at Fox, the blue carpet. And I, of course, say no because I'm not into them. I go home, hang out with my dogs, and eat popcorn and my beautiful wife, and I'm boring. But I'm okay. Boring is okay. Boring is fine, too. You got to be true to yourself. I'm boring. Joy is much more exciting than I am. That's why Joy is on the show, to bring some life to the show. But I am boring, but I'm okay. I'm comfortable with my boring.
You should always be true to yourself.
Be authentic. I am a homebody. I like watching documentaries. I'm boring.
I don't think you're boring, but...
Okay. Well, my wife... hopefully doesn't either. The point being is, boring gets a bad rap. I said this years ago. There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. I'm alone all the time. I never feel like I'm lonely. So in the NFL, you don't want to hear this, but boring usually mostly wins Super Bowls. Patrick Mahomes is fun and he's flashy, and the Kansas City Chiefs are like a track meet. And last night, they met boring Indianapolis. And Patrick Mahomes mostly sat on the bench and watched the game because the boring Colts, who are built through the draft, pay almost nobody. Their best players, an offensive guard, played keep away from Patrick Mahomes. And the fireworks show was doused. Never forget that the best show on turf in the 90s won Super Bowl. Peyton Manning's exhilarating Colts won Super Bowl. Dan Marino's flashy Dolphins, none, and John Elway, none, till he got a running game called Terrell Davis. Look around the league. Detroit and Indianapolis in the last 2 weeks have given you a blueprint. We're going to double-team Travis Kelce, the amazing tight end that Patrick Mahomes can complete 75% of his throws to. We're going to double him and take him out. And we're going to force Patrick Mahomes to make lower percentage firework throws up the sidelines. And if one of those receivers, Tyreek Hill, is hurt, we like our chances. And both Indy and Detroit did a great job. Now, I'm not saying you're going to ever completely solve Patrick Mahomes, but the internet gushes over every no-look, sort-of-looking, kind-of-looking, marginally-looking pass. That's like a hole-in-one at a golf tournament. That guy never wins the tournament. You know who wins the golf tournament? The guy that hits his putts. And right now, Kansas City's not hitting their putts. They can't run the ball, and they can't stop it. And in the last 10 days, I've watched Aaron Rodgers sit on the bench, watch the boring Philadelphia Eagles running game overwhelm the Packers. And yesterday, I watched the boring Colts offensive running game make Patrick Mahomes watch that game from the sideline. Boring overwhelmingly wins titles. I don't know if you've watched football, but the playoffs, it's crazy. Every year they're at the same time, December and January. And here's what's even crazier. They're played outdoors. Good luck having a fireworks show in the rain or the snow or in hail. They cancel them. So do great running games. They cancel Aaron Rodgers, and they cancel Patrick Mahomes. And I know they're boring. But, Colin, we didn't have Tyreek Hill. Stop. The Colts didn't have Andrew Luck, Darius Leonard, Malik Hooker. They were missing more. You got to hit your putts. I don't care about longest off the tee, long drive champions, hole-in-one on a Thursday. Who hits their putts? This league, look at the box score last night. As great as Patrick Mahomes is, he had the ball 22 minutes. The Colts had it almost 38. That is what wins post-Thanksgiving.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
My wife used to always make fun of me because she said I would circle a house before I bought it. Like for 6 months, I'd circle a house. I'd drive by it in the day. I'd drive by it at night. I'd drive by it in the afternoon. And my wife is more, you know, she's more about, I like it, I got it, go. I tend to be a circler. And it's kind of a running joke in our family. And I've done this. My wife and I have been together now over a decade, and we've had some home purchases. And I circle, and I want to see the house at night. I want to see it in the day. What's the traffic flow like? What are the crazy neighbors like? I'll go on the weekends. I'll go early in the morning. And I'm a crazy person. I'm like a vulture. I just circle it.
You're casing the place?
Yeah, I kind of case the joint. So that's kind of what I do. But my point is, before I make a massive purchase, I want to know everything. And I'm not, I'll say this about Dak Prescott. I like Dak Prescott a lot, and I've been circling and circling, but yesterday did give me pause. And I never understood, if you got on a plane and the pilot said to you, listen, there's a massive storm off to the right, we're going to deviate and go left, you'd be like, thank you. If you were going to have surgery and the surgeon said, you know, I've been looking at your x-rays and I just got a new one in, and I'm going to make sure we do this the right way because we've got new information. If your stockbroker said, hey, the president of this company is selling all his stock, so I'm going to say cancel our order. In all three of those cases, you'd be like, ooh, new information, yeah. Well, yes, except when you're a sportscaster. I have to have an opinion, and it never changes. Yesterday, I watched Dak, who I have been supportive of, now, after years of doubting him, and it gave me pause. They trailed 31-3. He looked terrible at home against the Green Bay defense that Philadelphia torched. And it's not that he lost. There is a disturbing trend when you dig deeper with Dak. In his last dozen losses, 12, they all have something in common. The offense is losing the game, not the defense. The last 12 Cowboy losses, look at the numbers. They score 7, 9, 6, 12, 8, 13, 16, 17, 14, 0, 10, 24. Only once against Philadelphia did the team they lost to score in the 30s. The defense in the last 12, and don't look at the game yesterday and go, well, it was 34-24. That was Green Bay trying to kill the clock and Dak getting garbage yards. In their 12 losses, only once has the defense really not shown up. That was week 11 against Philadelphia in 2017. So it's like Thursday night the Rams lost. That's a good loss. You went up to Seattle. Russell Wilson did what Russell Wilson does. And Jared Goff looked very good in a hostile environment. By the length of one football, if the kick goes left, not right, you leave. You can feel good about that. When Buffalo lost to New England 2 weeks ago, and Tom Brady was awful, Buffalo's got to leave that and think, fellas, they only won Tom Brady in the league. We got a chance to win double-digit games. It is not losing in this league. Nobody goes 16-0. It is how you lose. The Rams Thursday, you can take positives. Buffalo losing at home to New England, you can take positives. Dak's last 12 losses, only once has the defense not helped him out. By the way, Dak against winning teams since 2017 is 5-9 with 18 turnovers and has been sacked 40 times. And that's not an O-line issue. That's a Dak holding on to the ball issue. And in those 12 losses, he has 7 touchdowns and 17 picks. So we've got new information. I like Dak. I would pay Dak, but don't pay till you have to and take every single bit of information in. This is what I was sitting next to a pilot on a flight 2 weeks ago. I literally got in a flight and there was a pilot that had to fly to LA for his next flight. And we talked about this. He goes, I get stuff 2 hours before the flight, 30 minutes before the flight, and in the flight. He goes, I'm getting constant information on avoid this lightning storm, avoid this turbulence. If pilots can do it, an NFL owner and a GM can't? Like yesterday gave me pause. I sat there and watched and I went, you know what? I'm seeing a trend. So I start digging on the stats, digging to his last 12 losses, digging to the numbers, digging to the data. I got no problem being wrong on stuff. I think Dak's more of a $27.5 million a year quarterback. I think he's in that class. I don't think he's a 37. I don't think he's a 35. I think you can pay him mid to high 20s now. Time has not worked for him. There's new information. I'm not going to be stubborn and rigid. I've always been a pro Dak, pay him 30. After the last couple of games, I'm like, no, I'd pay him 26, 27. And now I think Jerry's going to pay him. Because Jerry's saying stuff after the game. It's amazing. I love him. He's this. He's that. Go for it. I mean, that's. I don't own the team. I don't run the team. But, you know, I would rather get it right than be right. I want my pilot to get it right. I want my stockbroker to get it right. I want my surgeon, if my kids or me are going to the hospital, get it right. Don't be rigid and stubborn. Yesterday I watched that and I thought, this is, I'm seeing a, I almost felt like Goulet. Goulet is overly negative. I try to be optimistic. That's just my natural cheery self. But yesterday I'm like, yeah, this is a problem. This is a problem. He is struggling against a good defense. And I mean struggling, and that had some Kirk Cousins looks to it. That was not pretty.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, we do it every Monday. It's called Colin Right, Colin Wrong. I am both regularly. We admit it when we whiff. And here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Well, this is officially John Goulet, the hottest I have ever been. Blazing 5, 4-1 again. We picked Kyler Murray to win. We took the Vikings, Saints, and Packers. We are 74% on the year. I am on fire. Start fading me very soon. By the way, we were also red hot in the playoffs last year. I think we went 9-2 or 10-1. So we've been on a streak. We get into these occasionally. They don't last forever. I may ask you to pull back on the size of your numbers, but Fox Bet is happy. So are we, 4-1. And I like that I took Kyler Murray to win. I always like when I take like a dog team to win on the road and they win. Way to go, Arizona.
Where Colin was wrong.
Couldn't you give John Gruden at least a mention in Coach of the Year? I mean, I'm not saying he's as good as, but the AB nonsense, a first-time general manager. I got to be honest with you. The offense is fun. The free agent signings on offense look pretty good. The offensive draft picks at least look pretty good. And the schedule, Vontaze Burfict got kicked out of the team. The cryo foot, AB nonsense. There's been a lot of noise. Now, structurally, organizationally, I still think this is a bottom five team in the league. But I got to give them credit here. They have wildly overachieved, in my opinion, from what I thought they would be. I like watching them play. And Gruden is an offensive guy, and Derek Carr looks comfortable, and they have established a running game, and the free agents and the offensive draft picks look pretty good, so I'm wrong on that.
Where Colin was right.
We told you, Saints are going to be fine with Teddy Bridgewater. You know what Teddy Bridgewater is? If he was an NBA point guard, because quarterbacks are point guards, he's Mike Conley. Smart, coachable, leadership skills, great distributor, and he hits a couple of jumpers a game. He keeps you honest. That's Teddy. Teddy doesn't make any mistakes. He's a great distributor. He'll make two or three throws that keep you honest. But the bottom line is he's completing 75% of his throws. What did we tell you? He's Drew Brees. He can't throw it deep. He's super accurate and smart. Now, do I think Drew situationally down the stretch is better? No question. But Teddy's the best backup quarterback in the NFL, and you know what? That's like a real job. That's like being the best guy off the bench in the NBA. Go ask the Toronto Raptors. Like having the best six man, it's like a real thing, right? You don't get the big shoe deal, but Teddy's the world's best backup quarterback, and good for him.
Where Colin was wrong.
Adam Gase right now, 4 touchdowns in 28 quarters. Now, again, Sam Darnold's out. I get it. But here's what's inexcusable. There's also 11 backup quarterbacks have played this year. Doesn't need to be man overboard. Jacksonville's playing with a backup. Carolina's playing with a backup. Teddy Bridgewater's a backup. I don't want to hear Andrew Luck is out. Indy just won with a backup in Kansas City. Just because you have a backup quarterback doesn't mean you can't compete in games. Reportedly, he gave first team reps to Darnold all week, knowing he hadn't been medically cleared. Not acceptable. I don't want to hear it's a backup quarterback. I know Sam Darnold this week against Dallas, it'll be a real game. It's an 8-point spread. But the body language, the lack of innovation, and I don't want to hear the Jets don't have talent. C.J. Mosley, Jamal Adams, Leonard Williams, Quinnen Williams, Le'Veon Bell. The interior of their offensive line is good. Robbie Anderson, they get Hernan back, the tight end. And Sam Darnold. If they go out and lay an egg against Dallas, that's a problem. Because don't tell me the Jets don't have talent. They got 7 or 8 elite players. Now, they got holes, but they got real players.
Where Colin was right.
Well, I've been saying this for a long time. Washington Redskins are a poorly run tire fire. They fired Jay Gruden this morning. Dan Snyder may be a great businessman. He's a crappy owner. Here's a guy years ago that hired an offensive coordinator before he hired the head coach. I mean, and then when he couldn't get a head coach, he said, I'll just make the coordinator the coach. And Jim Zorn, wonderful guy, was over his skis and got whacked. By the way, Jay Gruden and the staff did not want to draft Dwayne Haskins. They had other people in mind, reportedly Daniel Jones. But Daniel Jones' son went to high school with Dwayne Haskins. So it's just the worst kind of owner. Dan Snyder's son, I'm sorry. Dan Snyder's son went to high school with, you know, Dwayne Haskins. So they drafted him. And the Gruden guy. So you've had, and the minute Alex Smith got hurt, now you got to play Dwayne Haskins. It's a mess. This is a poorly run franchise. Good luck getting a legitimate coach. What legitimate coach would take that job? No way. In the coaching fraternity, this is poison. This is a poison. Stay out. Yield. Stop. All the way.
Where Colin was right.
Can you stop telling me Carolina doesn't surround Cam with talent? They rushed for 280 yards. They had a defensive touchdown. They've won 3 straight without Cam Newton. Listen, you and I are going to disagree on Cam Newton. But here's what I'm tired of hearing. You know, they don't really have any talent. Are you watching them? They're loaded. Their receivers are great. Christian McCaffrey is absurd. He may be the best running back in the NFL. I'm not sure he is, but he's close. Carolina dropped 34 points yesterday. Stop telling me that Cam doesn't have help. Now, I'm not saying Kyle Allen's better than Cam, but that has been the lamest excuse. Once again, Ron Rivera, the head coach, this team has the 8th best defense in the league. So once again, when Cam comes back, for the 6th time in 9 years, he'll have a top 10 defense to go along with maybe the best running back in football.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, Jim Harbaugh's offenses have moved into pathetic category. How does Wisconsin have better running backs than Michigan? I don't understand it. Like, listen, 3 for 13 on third downs, 260 yards against Iowa at home. I don't understand. Jim Harbaugh is an offensive guy. They have no playmakers. They don't have any pop or burst or explosion plays. Like, I don't get it. Listen, I still think Jim won. And Jim will win 9.5 games. But the one thing I thought Harbaugh would bring to this franchise, this program, is toughness and some offensive pop. They're getting worse. I mean, quarterbacks transfer there, and they get worse. Shea Patterson, 2 years ago, I thought he could be a first-round quarterback. I'm not sure he's draftable now.
Where Colin was right.
Thursday night, Russell Wilson, Jared Goff. We were right on both accounts. First of all, Russell Wilson, said it for years, is the most underappreciated quarterback of my lifetime. I don't think there's a second place. Maybe Steve Young. I can't explain what he does. He's the most unique quarterback ever. He runs but never gets hit. He throws the softest deep ball in the league, and every receiver and tight end they give him, everyone works. And then there's Jared Goff, who you kept telling me is the liability. I watched that game, and I thought, he's kind of the strength. I don't worry about Jared Goff. I thought he looked like Tom Brady down the stretch. So on Thursday, both Wilson and Goff proved our point. Russell's an all-time Hall of Fame talent, and Jared Goff is not the Rams' obstacle. He is not a liability. He is a core strength.
Where Colin was right.
My favorite NFL theory is called the bounce back theory. When good teams are humiliated or good units, they always bounce back. So I love Green Bay this week because their defense was humiliated in a Thursday night Fox game. 10 days later, their defense looked amazing. Always go with a team that was recently humiliated. The Vikings offense was humiliated, got ripped in the press, came back and looked great against the Giants. The 5 teams in the league that were called out or humiliated: Baltimore, Indy, Green Bay, Houston, Minnesota, 5-0. Now, by the way, Kansas City's offense is getting ripped today. Go online, figure out the Vegas line, watch Kansas City's offense next week put on a fireworks show. It's the way it's my favorite NFL theory, the bounce back theory. These are men, they're professionals. As long as you have some talent, Minnesota's offense, Green Bay's defense, if you get humiliated, especially on a national TV standalone game, they always, always play great the following week. Not the case in college football. Almost always the case in the NFL.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm not here to bang on Aaron Rodgers. He was great last night. But when you have the matinee idol looks, $100 million in the bank, you won, McCarthy lost, you win the game, you beat America's team, you look terrific, and then you come out after the game and take a not-so-shuttle shot at Mike McCarthy. Here it is.
I just think we're just a more connected team this year. We're enjoying each other more. We like each other, I think, a little more. We hang out with each other. It's the locker room is a raucous environment. Whether it's a Monday or whether it's right after a big win, I just think guys really play for each other more, and we have that chemistry that because of the leadership that we have that maybe we've been lacking the last couple of years.
I mean, come on. That's just a shot at McCarthy, right? Did you really have to go there? It was a night you should have just said, how much fun was that? Go Packers.
Okay. I'm going to take this a few different ways.
Okay.
So when Mike McCarthy got fired,
right,
one of the first things Aaron made sure we all knew was that it wasn't his fault and that their relationship was good. Like, we all knew that it was fractured.
Right.
But it was – you want to portray that something is better than what it is until it's not.
Right.
And that's what Aaron Rodgers was doing.
It was all good.
It was all good. And then you feel for someone when they lose their job.
Sure.
Now there's been time that has passed. And let's face it, he knew what the reality was last year with Mike McCarthy and he and his relationship. And it was this, what his comments are true. Like, his comments are true. Is it a shot? Yes, it's a shot because it's Aaron Rodgers and that's what we've come to know. But I don't think he was taking it. I don't think he was directing that at Mike McCarthy.
Who's he directing it at?
I think he was just making a generalized statement of what he feels. And sometimes when you're asked a question, you're answering that question and then you start to say things of how you really genuinely feel. And you think, like, well, I shouldn't have said that because they're going to take that the wrong way.
Well, the leadership last year we didn't have, that's kind of a shot at McCarthy.
I mean, it could be a shot at McCarthy. It could be the leadership within the locker room has changed defensively with the Smith, the bookends. They didn't have that.
Oh,
had Clay Matthews, but he was on his way
so
out.
So I can see you think I'm reaching on
this. I don't think you're reaching. I don't think you're reaching because it's Aaron. And we know Aaron to make these subtle jabs.
You know what this is? This is Facebook. After you get divorced, never been happier. That's what it is.
It's early marriage for most. It's early any type of relationship. Everything is great and bliss, and because you haven't really experienced adversity, you haven't heard all the chatter once the adversity
Aaron,
hits.
It did have a couple of, and I like this, frankly. Aaron and Matt LaFleur on the sidelines disagreed. I think it's incredibly healthy. If you watch that part, I like. I like them going back and forth. Aaron voices his opinion. LaFleur does.
It's healthy.
I think it's great.
When you think about it, that's what did not happen with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. It was, I'm coming to the sideline. I'm so disturbed at what just transpired. I'm not going to even acknowledge it. I'm just going to walk to the bench, sit down, forget it.
Sometimes he would stay in the huddle. There were times during timeouts Aaron didn't always go over to the sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, that's not always – well, no, yeah, you do typically go to the sidelines as a quarterback. I'm trying here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so let's shift to Dak Prescott. Okay, I'm a supporter of Dak, but there are moments – I was telling Joy, my wife makes fun of me because before we've ever bought a house, I tend to circle it. I drive by it at night, day, weekends.
I want to see how it looks in
all its glory.
Absolutely.
And I want to see what's the traffic flow in the day, night, what's the neighborhood like in the day, night. And I like Dak.
Well, you don't have any traffic because you're back fenced like 7 acres.
Yeah, talk about it. So, but I watched Dak yesterday. I'm still circling before I write that check. I got to be honest. That makes me, if I'm Jerry, I'm pulling about $5 million off the table. I got to pause on that, Greg. Like that's his last two games against good defenses, his quarterback, his passer rating's in the 70s.
Yeah, when you look at Dak Prescott, he's definitely hurting himself because he's not been winning these games outright on his own. And I'm saying on his own because it's typically on the shoulders of Dak Prescott. When we saw them last week against New Orleans, the game was on his shoulders. It's like, okay, what are you going to do? I would say this. It's a challenge for a guy like Dak Prescott when I feel like you are asked to, okay, don't lose the game versus go win the game.
So you think he's being told don't lose it?
It's not so much that he's being told that, but by the way that he plays, the Dallas Cowboys haven't proven that we're 100% sold on this guy and he's just our guy and we're going to send him out there and say, win the game for us, Dak. If that was the case, they would have already paid him. And so my point is, he's being shown by actions that, you, as a player, when a coach, you know, when a coach has the ultimate, and an organization has the ultimate respect and belief in you, when they just tell you, go do what you do, go win the game for us.
But that's not who he is.
And they know that. That's my point. They're telling him things like, all right, let's take care of the ball. All right, let's be smart. Well, that's not exuding confidence when I go out on the field.
So you think?
I guarantee you, when they look at Amari Cooper, they're looking at Amari Cooper like, let's go make plays. Go make a play for us. That's a different mentality that you're walking onto the game field with versus a coach telling you or a coordinator telling you, all right, let's be smart on this possession.
Yeah, no, I think I'm just watching that last night and I'm like, I'd rather get it right than be right. And I'm like, I can't look at Aaron and Dak on the same TV set.
No,
They're
not even close. But you have to also consider, where do you go from here if you're Dallas? If you say, okay, we're not going to sign Dak, we're going to try to figure this out. Well, he's not a bad quarterback.
No. He is not.
He can win games for
them. He can win the division for you.
But the problem that I see with the Dallas Cowboys and that we're all starting to see is, that can be fine. You can have a great team and they can win a lot of games. But in the playoffs, you need players. You need guys that are going to step up. And when you do send them on that football field, you can say, go get this done for me. Go get a game. Go score. Go get a touchdown. Go catch a ball. Go make a play. And that's just not what we're finding out Dak Prescott's strengths are.
If the Cowboys were in the AFC this morning, I may think entirely different than I think about the Cowboys in the NFC, where I've got the Seahawks and the Eagles and the Packers and the Rams. I mean, the teams I don't even buy in the NFC,
yeah.
Minnesota, are loaded.
Yeah.
The teams I don't buy in the AFC, Jacksonville, I got Gardner Minshew marching up and down the field. Mm-hmm. So I think some of this is Dallas is, they're a good team, but there's too much great in the NFC, and you saw
Absolutely.
It last night. Can you explain the Raiders? Like, I always thought dysfunction, they make so much noise, but I'm watching them against the Bears offensively. They're fun. They got a running game. The O-line's better. They stole a tight end from Baltimore. I literally was watching them dominate Chicago, and I'm like, I can't explain it. This should not be 3-2.
Yeah, well, when I look at the Raiders, they weren't terrible offensively last year. Like, you think about what Derek Carr was able to do last year, he had some of his best numbers. He had arguably one of his best years in his career. So there were building blocks to their success. And what we're seeing, I'm not sold on the Raiders, having said all that.
But they do have a running game,
they
Greg.
Do have a running game. I love everything about Josh Jacobs. And I love and one thing we do know about John Gruden, he wants to establish the run and he wants to be physical up front. And that's what this offensive line and this running game provides, a physicality. You look at what they did against the Chicago Bears. Like
I was shocked.
I mean, I think we all were.
I was shocked.
I think we all were. I'm like,
they ran
really?
The ball right at the Bears.
Yeah, like punched them right in the mouth. A defensive team that is stout up front, that is stout on all levels of their defense, and they do that to them? That was impressive.
I was. I sat back and went, all right.
But again, having said that, I'm not quite sold because the Bears can't score and they have their own woes. And then who have the Raiders really beaten?
By the way, Kansas City, fireworks shows. See, a lot of you guys are cool and lit and cool. I'm not. I'm boring. So
here we go.
Yeah, fireworks. Hey, Kansas City got a big fireworks show. You know what puts a fireworks show out? Rain, cold weather, playoffs are outdoors. You probably love Kansas City. I got my questions about Kansas City.
You mean like last year?
Ooh, fireworks show.
They're fireworks. See, this is what I want to halt you and make sure you're aware of this.
Yeah.
Are they out there with a full deck?
Oh, injuries. My bad.
It's a part of the game. I get it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's going to dictate what you then look like on the field. And it did yesterday.
Oh, well, Andrew Luck wasn't there for the Colts.
Defensively, they are who they are. They're terrible with stopping the run. And if that doesn't change.
So you're saying Tyreek Hill changes everything?
Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins started playing. He got hurt. That's the NFL.
It is the NFL. But if Patrick Mahomes has this full arsenal, his full deck, that doesn't happen last night. Now, could they have been better? Yes. I will say this. When I think of what is going on with the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, it's starting to look a lot like what happened in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers.
Tell me.
An awesome, amazing, electric offense. Defense is going to let you down every year. Defense let Aaron Rodgers down and kind of stunted that success.
That's true.
I'm starting to see this early with the Kansas City Chiefs. If they don't fix this defense, we're going to see a lot of what Patrick Mahomes could have done, should have done,
but sat on the bench for most of the game and watched. Those Brett Favre teams, Brett lost a lot of games watching the last 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just saying they better fix something with that
defense. Guys like fireworks shows?
I love fireworks.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Nope, I don't let my kids go to them. Scares the dog, scares the kids. You know what we do? We stay home, eat TV dinners.
That's just mean.
And watch the news.
Watch the news. That's fireworks right there.
I watch clouds, yell at them.